So why exactly do the nations rage? Or to use the quote from Psalm 2 today, why do the heathen so furiously rage together? Heathen is us, by the way. Though later translations definitely say nations. And rather than rage, it's why do the nations conspire together? Seems to be a touch of paranoia on the part of the psalmist there, believing that all the nations are against them. Sounds a bit conspiracy theory to me, and I've definitely heard too much of that recently. But if we look at the stories of ancient Israel and its exiles and occupations, its place as a corridor between warring empires, which does beg the question of how good a promised land it really is, that's basically the best route for armies to go through, and they might as well occupy on the way. Anyway, if we take into account such a history, it's probably more understandable why the writer of Psalm 2 does indeed think that the nations are conspiring. But then the psalm goes on to remind the people of Israel that obedience to the law, the perfect way of the divine, is the way of security, to trust in God and in God's agent, the king. Like many of the psalms, it's a psalm of perspective. It says, look bigger. See where God is working. Trust in the life of the divine. Get some perspective, it says, which sounds like pretty good advice in our current world. It's also what we get from the passage set as our first reading from the Deuterocanonical book this evening of wisdom. The perspective, again, is calling to the nations, as represented by the kings, the monarchs of the earth, calling them back to the law. The law which seeks to bring justice, equity, fairness, healing, wholeness. The Hebrew law was not, and indeed is not, a set of rules and regulations to be obeyed, but principles to govern the whole life of the children of Israel. Sure, it's got stuff about religious observance and how big your ephod should be, but at the heart, it's the principle of right relationship. Right relationship between people and God, between people and the king, between people and the temple, between the temple and the king and God, and the temple and God, and everything. It is rooted in and it is concerned with relationship. Nothing can be understood of Hebrew law without that. The words of wisdom, the talk of destruction and disaster, are an interpretation of what will happen when we as human beings, as nations, as communities, do not live in right relationship with one another and the earth. As I mentioned this morning, the perspectives we need to know to understand biblical ethics is that they are ultimately relational ethics and cannot be separated from the notion of community and of well-being, the common well-being. And then we have Jesus. We always have Jesus. From the collection of teachings which have been compiled and grouped together under what we call the Sermon on the Mount, we have three sections this evening, three paragraphs known as pericope, which is just the Greek word for portion or selection of writing. These three discrete teachings are linked by this understanding of the perfect expression of God's law of love, which Jesus refers to as the kingdom of heaven. I tend to take out the masculinity of that idea and the misunderstood concept of a geographical location called heaven, and I usually refer to the reign of God, the reign of the divine. It's a state of being, not a place. A state of being where those who are engaged in this journey of faith and goodwill are seeking to bring about justice, healing, and wholeness with compassion and with a fierce tenderness. In the first two of tonight's pericope, we are reminded that those of us who seek to be these harbingers of the reign of God, those seeking to usher in the healing and wholeness at the heart of God's way of being, we are called to be witnesses, change makers, bearers of the reality of the divine love. It's not passive, and yet at the same time, it's not about what we do. It's about who we are, like salt, or a city on a hill, or a lamp on a lampstand. We are there to change the flavor or to show by our compassionate living the way of love. We are those who live by that law of harmony and justice, those who take the word of God as words of forgiveness, inclusion, and peace and grace. This is to be our perspective, to come back to my opening theme, to see our part in the divine work, not to think of ourselves as completing it, nor being responsible for all of it, but to contribute in whatever way we can to creating, in partnership with God and in community, a world filled with life, love, and healing. Pray God it may be so. Amen.